All right, our second case for the morning is Bohati versus Cobza, and oral arguments will be presented by WebEx, and it appears both counsel are present. So again, this is Bohati versus Cobza. If counsel, please state your name for the record and who you represent when you begin, and we'll start with the appellant, please.
Good morning, Your Honors. This is Jacqueline Tessendorf. May it please the court, I represent the appellant Walter Bohati. In this action, we appeal the lower court's determination that there was not a breach of contract. First, the lower court erred when it held that the age of the pivot was not a material term. And the second issue that I will be arguing was that Mr. Bohati's revocation of acceptance or rescission of the contract was done in a reasonable time, and that appellee Mr. Cobza should be ordered to pick up the pivot and return the purchase price. For the court's background, in 2013, Mr. Greg Cobza and Mr. Walter Bohati agreed that Mr. Bohati would purchase a good used six tower Zomatic center irrigation system that was less than 10 years old. In the fall of 2013 and spring of 2014, Mr. Cobza began delivering pieces of a wrecked and salvaged pivot that was more than 20 years old, and it was not a Zomatic pivot. Mr. Cobza,
if I can interrupt you.
Yes, Ms. Jotterberg.
You've just said what you believe the contract was for. Is that what the contract that was found to exist by the trial court, was the contract that you just quoted, the contract that the trial court found to exist?
Your Honor, the trial court found there was a contract for the purchase of a used pivot, and the lower court found that the agreement was $6,200 per tower. And my client, Mr. Bohati, testified that the agreement was for a used center pivot that was not more than 10 years old.
Ms. Tessendorf, if maybe we could just hit the pause on the time for a second, and I'm very sorry to interrupt you, but it appears we lost Mr. Clark here on the transmission. Oh. So we'll give him a second to get back on. Thank you, Nate. Welcome back, Mr. Grant. Called you Mr. Clark. Mr. Grant, can you hear us okay? Not yet, apparently.
I'm sorry, Your Honors. I had a problem. I was actually receiving the broadcast twice, and with the delay between. I think we've corrected that problem now, so apologize. Okay.
Can you hear us okay now, Mr. Grant?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Perfect. Thank you. Our apologies, Ms. Tessendorf. We'll go ahead and restart the clock and have you resume your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. I believe Judge Arterbarn was asking me if the lower court found that the terms of the contract, and the lower court was persuaded by the fact that Mr. Bohati paid an invoice where the price of the towers was $6,200 per tower. And it is our position that was an error. It is true that Mr. Bohati paid the invoice, but he paid it before he was able to discover. I'm sorry, is Mr. Grant continuing to have difficulties?
We'll pause again for a second. Okay. Mr. Grant, are you continuing to have difficulties?
Yes. Sorry, that's the wrong one. So somehow I had two open at the same time.
Okay.
We can hear you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I'll wait up here, Mr. Grant, and then when you're ready.
We're doing everything we can on our end.
Oh, no problem.
I think you should be okay.
I think we're fine now. We had to close out. I was actually receiving a delayed broadcast. I think it's because I had the version that we can see online going at the same time. So I think we've corrected that.
Okay, great.
All right. Then we'll go ahead and again, Ms. Tessendorf.
Okay, so I hope I answered Judge Arterburn's question of what we think the contract is versus what the lower court found.
But isn't the problem, though, that given this was an oral contract, that the fact finder determines what the terms were and the district court determined unfavorably for your client?
I would agree that the fact finder does determine the terms after it listens to the evidence, but the lower court erred when it found that the age of the machine that was delivered was not a material term. It is our position that age is always a material term, especially with regards to equipment. When a person goes to purchase a vehicle, you ask what the model year is. That goes towards the length of the usability of the machine. Our expert, Jesse Dretzky, testified that when he inspected the machine that was delivered, it was more likely 20 to 30 years old versus 10 years old, as Mr. Bohati had specified. And much like Maz versus Skobida, Mr. Bohati tried to make this machine work. There were many repairs that were done. The first irrigation year, the center drive system, which is like a transmission on a car, is integral to running the pivot.
So, excuse me, Ms. Tessendorf, I think you're getting into your second argument a little bit, and I'd like to back up again to the age issue.
Thank you. So
there was conflicting evidence from both parties as to whether the age of the equipment was part of the contract. Would you agree with that?
Yes, Mr. Bohati testified that he had specified that he did not want a machine that was older than 10 years.
Right, and Mr. Kobza disputed that.
That's correct. So
if it's an essential term and the court found that there wasn't an agreement on it, what happens to your breach of contract claim then?
I think that presents a problem for my breach of contract claim, but I don't know how the lower court could make that assumption that age is not a material term, especially when it is with regards to equipment or machinery. And given my time, I would like to turn to my second argument, which was that the revocation of acceptance or rescission was reasonable based on the discovery of the condition and type of machine that was delivered and erected. Mr. Kobza testified that before he invoiced Mr. Bohati, that the machine was operational, but the evidence that was presented at trial, in particular, all of the invoices for all of the repairs and parts that were needed to install the machine, all happened after the invoice date. So therefore, Mr. Bohati could not have discovered how poor of a machine this was until the machine was constructed. And as I'm sure all of you are aware of, these 6 tower center irrigation pivot systems, they're huge machines. They take special skill to erect, special skill to put together. farmers have to hire electricians because of the amount of voltage that is used to operate the machines. It's not the same as other goods. And
Ms. Tessendorf, if I can interrupt, and I'm trying to move past the first issue that we're talking about, but even if we move past that issue and we talk about rescission, did your client not testify to his many years of experience using irrigation systems and specifically pivot systems and a great deal of familiarity with the nature of pivot systems?
Yes, he did, Your Honor. He did testify the fact that he had operated.
Was there any testimony by him that he went out and took a look at it before it got erected when it started arriving on his land? And made any complaint at that point before this even got built?
Your Honor, I believe the testimony was that there were pieces of the machine delivered and he was invoiced when the pieces were delivered. And there is an exhibit from March of 2014 when my client, Mr. Bohati, visited the Cornhusker Irrigation District, Mr. Jesse Jaretsky, to get an estimate of what a new pivot cost, which was the same as what this piece of junk that was delivered to him, what he was charged for. That was within a couple months of it being delivered. And Mr. Kobza also testified that Mr. Bohati harassed him about the condition of this machine. And they had come to an agreement that Mr. Bohati would use the machine and Mr. Kobza would take it back after the first irrigation season. So, Your Honors, I would ask that you consider that the age is important, and also when does it become the buyer's duty to remove a machine like this from its property? Much like Maz versus Skobita, this isn't an easy machine to remove, and Mr. Bohati should not be penalized for trying to mitigate his damages when he clearly revoked his acceptance within a reasonable time, tried to work with Mr. Kobza to remedy the situation and make this machine work. And we ask that you reverse the lower court's decision. And I'm going to ask that my 30 seconds be used for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Clark Grant, and I represent the appellee in this case, Mr. Kobza, Greg Kobza. I'd like to actually start my argument sort of in reverse and first talk about the revocation of acceptance or the right of rescission that the appellant asserts in this case. In my brief, I cited a number of Nebraska cases that indicate that if there was a breach, and of course we're assuming that because the lower court determined there was no breach, but even if we make that assumption, then we have to analyze whether or not Mr. Bohati was entitled to revoke his acceptance of the center pivot irrigation system. And, unfortunately, in order to have that right of rescission, there's certain obligations that Mr. Bohati would have, and that would be to disassemble the machine and deliver it back to my client. And there can be disagreement about that, but the case law clearly supports the fact that you can't continue to use the equipment and then assert a right of rescission or revocation of acceptance. And the evidence in this case is that the pivot was used first during the 2014 crop season. And we had trial in this matter, I think in 2020. So we had either 6 or 7 crop years of use of this machine, which Mr. Bohati admitted to at the time of trial. clearly there can't be a right of rescission or the right to revoke the acceptance after so many years of use of the equipment. At the very least, Mr. Bahati would have had to have discontinued using the machine and given notice to my client. But of course, all of that assumes that Mr. Bahati had the right to revoke his acceptance in the first place. And that's yes.
Under the UCC, the statute of frauds provision 2-201 requires that a contract for a sale of goods over $500 has to be in writing. And obviously, we're talking about an oral contract here. However, it also has a provision related to payment being made. Is that what takes us out of the statute of frauds in this case?
Clearly it does, Your Honor. There's never really any dispute between the parties that there was an agreement for the sale and purchase of the used irrigation system. And unfortunately, we still in the farming business still do a lot of agreements on handshake, and they don't go to the lawyer's office to work up a contract. The fact that payment was made and clearly a contract was made takes it out of the statute of frauds, I believe. And then getting back to the first issue, and that was there a breach of contract? The court did a good job of setting forth the evidence that was submitted at the time of trial in regards to this issue. And the court clearly found that there was no agreement with regard to the age of the machine. And I think that's an important finding. My client, Mr. Kobza, testified that there wasn't discussion about the age because the machine that they were talking about was already on his farm, disassembled and on his farm. So they were negotiating about a center pivot system that they were looking at the same time they were discussing it. And that is why there wasn't any specific discussion about the age of the machine. And then furthermore, the district court properly determined that Mr. Bahati received a functional machine. So he received the benefit of the bargain. And so the age of the machine wasn't a material term because Mr. Bahati received the benefit of the bargain in the matter. And
was there any evidence that Mr. Kobza ever disclosed to Mr. Bahati that this pieces that were on his property were remnants from a storm or tornado damaged pivot?
I don't specifically recall that, Your Honor. What I do recall is that they were actually looking at the machine. And so if there were parts of the machine or wear on the machine that Mr. Bahati wasn't satisfied with, it was right there in front of him. What was there specific discussion about where the machine came from? I don't believe there was, Your Honor. But again, what was bargained for was a used machine and not a new machine.
Was it a Zomatic, or was that never really a requirement from your client's perspective?
Well, as a matter of fact, the machine that was delivered was a Zomatic machine, Your Honor. The control box on the center pivot system was not a Zomatic control box. There was no dispute at the trial that what was delivered was in fact a Zomatic six tower center pivot system. It had a different brand of control box that came with the machine. We believe that the trial court's finding that there was not a breach of contract is clearly supported by the evidence, and it would be Mr. Bahati's burden then on appeal to show that that fact finding was clearly erroneous. And we don't believe that Mr. Bahati has pointed to any specific evidence in the record that would support his argument that the trial court's finding on breach is clearly erroneous. Mr. Bahati has received a machine that has never caused any crop loss on the ground. It's always functioned. There was dispute initially about its operation, but the record clearly reflects that my client in that first year in 2014 went above and beyond what was called for in the contract, because he provided all of the labor and the materials and the parts to make sure that the machine was functioning that year. And then Mr. Bahati provided the testimony that the machine continued to work. And I think the only thing that he did was, he put on new gearboxes, which we didn't think was necessary. And then the only other thing he did was to buy a couple of new tires for the machine and some relay switches. So other than that, the machine has been functioning as it was delivered for all of these crop years. And so
shouldn't the trial court have factored in, I believe it was Mr. Jureski's testimony, the evidence he presented regarding the trade-in value of this in 2016, which was, I guess, just 2 years after it was installed, was only $8,000 for equipment for which Mr. Bohati paid $37,000 for the equipment, and then the additional labor and so forth took it up to the $55,000. So is the fact that the trial court didn't seem to give any weight at all to that evidence, is that not problematic?
I don't believe it is, Your Honor. I think the first of all, we certainly didn't agree with Mr. Dresky's characterization of the pivot that that he looked at. And we chose not to put on any of our own expert evidence regarding that matter, because it was my opinion that the party said bargained for a used machine, and that's what was delivered by my client to Mr. Bahati. We could have gotten into a lot more detail about the value of a used machine, but chose not to do that. I think the trial court was correct in stating that the price was paid. First of all, it was apparently agreed upon because Mr. Bahati wrote the check and personally delivered it, according to my client. And the court found that the evidence was consistent with my client's version of those facts. So I don't think there was the huge disparity between the values that Mr. Bahati would have this court believe, or the trial court believe at the time of the trial, or this court for that matter.
But the evidence indicates that your client bought this scrap pivot equipment for about $3,000, is that right? And then turned around and charged $36,000, not counting labor,
we don't believe that that's accurate. There was one check for $3,600, which my client produced, but he testified, Your Honor, that he'd actually paid about $12,000 for the pivot, and then he had the expense of tearing it down at the previous site, erecting it on Mr. Bahati's property, and also reconditioning the pivot. And the record has the exhibits which indicate all of the new parts that were put onto the pivot that my client paid for. So if you look at the record carefully, you'll see that it supports the fact that Mr. Bahati received a machine, and that my client didn't somehow receive some unconscionable price for the unit that was delivered. Thank you.
Thank you. How much time do we have for a rebuttal for Ms. Tessendorf? Could we go ahead and add a minute to that to kind of compensate for the multiple interruptions during her initial argument? So you'll have a minute 27, Ms. Tessendorf.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I would like to go to your point with your question about the lower court's disregard of Mr. Dretzky's expert testimony. Like Judge Arterburn noted, both Mr. Bohati and Mr. Dretzky are experts in the area of irrigation and the value of equipment. And what was delivered to Mr. Bohati's farm was a piece of equipment that was at most worth $8,000 after Mr. Bohati had put another $7,800 of new gearboxes on. So contrary to what Mr. Grant said, it was unconscionable to charge Mr. Bohati new price for a wrecked salvage pivot that he paid, which the evidence supported, he paid $3,600.
But was unconscionability pled?
It was not, Your Honor, but the lower court noted that it could, the evidence showed that it was presented at trial.
With regard to your allegation that the price of the equipment was $36,000, which if you look at just the $6,000 or $6,200 per sprinkler head or whatever is close, what was the evidence with regard to labor cost from your client?
In Mr. Jaretsky's exhibits, he estimated what it would cost to install a pivot, and it was right around $4,000, I believe, versus Mr. Bohati or Mr. Cobes had charged $13,000 for labor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. The matter is submitted.